so much, Troublemakers, for all the beautiful music this morning. We really appreciate it. Our New Testament lesson for this morning, you may remain seated for. It comes to us from the first letter from Timothy to his disciple Paul, the second chapter and the first seven verses. Would you hear now the word of our God? First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Jesus Christ, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, we've done this before, but let's do it again. And if you were here before, don't give me the same answer you gave me the last time we played this game. Famous lines from movies. One-liners. Can you think of any? You're fresh, so you can say anything you like. Make my day. Go ahead. Make my day. Who said that? Yeah, Clint Eastwood. He did. I felt like that once or twice myself, especially with my children. I used to spank my boys late in the afternoon and tell them I wondered why I waited all day. They wanted it, and I wanted to do it. I don't know why we waited all day. Another one? Hang on to that one. Another one?
We're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Watch out now, friend. Be careful.
Houston, we have a problem.
Houston, we have a problem. E.T. going home. Yeah. But you know my favorite one of all times, and the reason is because it's so open-ended. Once in a galaxy far, far away. And then you just, I mean, it sucks you right in. You can't wait to see what happened in the galaxy. Say again. Could have been a contender. He could have been a contender. Right. I could have been a contender. Y'all got any up here?
I'm not going to say it again.
Better that you not. Now, here, you got one?
No matter where you go, there you are.
No matter where you go, there you are.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
Somebody back here was saying something. What did you say, Annie?
I'll be back.
That's what Jesus said. Well, I appreciate Brad and Roberto more than I can say. They're going to be running our sound today and also our video. Now, this video stands a chance of messing up and cussing. But Jeff and I worked on it hard this week. We think we got it edited. If somebody cusses in this thing, see those two guys in the back. Can we see the video?
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
The court will wait for an answer.
If Lieutenant Kendrick gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, then why did he have to be transferred? Colonel, Lieutenant Kendrick ordered the code red, didn't he? Because that's what you told Lieutenant Kendrick to do.
Object! And when it went bad, you cut these guys loose!
Your Honor,
you had Marcus inside a bony transport!
Your Honor,
you doctored the logbook!
Damn it, Captain!
You coerced the doctor!
Consider yourself in contempt!
Colonel Jessup! Did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth. Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
Wow! See how those two men determined what the truth was and who was entitled to hear it. Who needed it, who wanted it, who couldn't handle it. Can you stand the truth? Really, it's a question. Can you handle the truth? Jesus says that the truth will set you free, and I believe that that is true. But most people don't like the truth. Most people can't handle the truth. Most people try to twist the truth to suit them, or they try to at least get it where they can swallow it. And most preachers are afraid to preach the truth, because the real truth is hard to hear. Paul says in this letter that he is telling the truth and he is not lying. He's very clear about that. He sounds like a three-year-old. I'm not lying. I saw a lion coming home from school, but I'm not lying. He tells them to pray for the masses, that all will be saved. But the truth is, they didn't want all to be saved. Some folks don't deserve it. And the truth is, we don't want all to be saved, because there are people who are not like us. And when we get to heaven, we don't want them there. They're not supposed to live next door to us. They're not supposed to sit down at the heavenly banquet with us. They don't really fit in there. Perhaps they should go down the street to that other church. Some of us cannot bear the truth. Then Paul told them that they were to pray for the authorities. And the authorities were mean and abusive and tax collectors and persecutors and idiots and running for president. And we're supposed to pray for them? Really? Well, if you can stand the truth, hear this truth. That's the only shot we got, is to pray for them. How many of us tell the truth 100% of the time? Well, if you do, there's not many people that like you, and the others that do like you are mad at you. Let me offer you an example. So I'm walking Doogie down Harts Mill Road the other day. Now, Doogie, for those of you who don't know, is a little Karen Terrier that's lived with me for 14 years. Right now, if you're of a mind, you could say a prayer for Doogie. He was attacked by a Weimaraner this week. And so he's at home and trying to heal up, but he's bruised and he's sore and he's 14 and he's blind and he never saw that dog coming at him. We're walking down Harts Mill Road and having a fine time, and this woman comes out of a house and starts up the sidewalk, and we're going to meet her. And so I yield to her and get out in the road just a little bit because I can see the coming traffic. She's going in the opposite direction. And I thought to myself when she came out, that may be the ugliest dog I've ever seen in real life. And she says to me when she gets even, I see you walking your dog every day. I got a new dog. Isn't he beautiful? Probably better that you not tell the truth. And I thought about it because I was working on this sermon, and when I walk Doogie is when I'm churning this stuff about 100% of the time and telling the truth. And so I quickly said, get me out of here, God. And this is what God gave me to say. I know you love him. And she said, I do. And we parted friends. That may have been close to the ugliest dog I have ever seen in my life. If we do tell the truth, most of us tell the truth from our own experience and our own perspective, and it may not be accurate to fact or reality. I listened to a preacher yesterday tell me that they were coming out of their church this year. They were going to ask for a move. And I said, oh, you got something in mind? And the person told me exactly what they had in mind, and I thought, whoo, that is never going to happen in a million years for you. What made you think you could go to that big church? But I listened quietly and left and didn't tell anything about what I was really thinking in that instant. My brother and I remember things very differently. Do you get together at your family reunions and you tell the same story, but you absolutely remember it entirely different? Sheila does it, but she's the general, so she's right. That's right. She's right. My brother and I remember things very differently. I bet you do too. And so we tell what we think is the truth, what we call the truth, but it's told from our perspective. So what is the absolute truth not tainted by our perspective or our experience? We were in Bible study the other day, and we were talking about John. And you remember the part when John says to his mother at Cana of Galilee, woman? And the guys, Jeff said, you know, it was just the times. And I said to the class, that's because he's a male. He can see it that way. The females in the room were saying, why did he disrespect her that way? Remember that? And it's a perfect example of dealing with things through our own lens and our own perspective. Nobody's right and nobody's wrong. It's just we see things through different lens sometimes. So how do we get to the absolute truth, not tainted by our perspective or our experience? Well, let me give you two things. Facts. Kathy Brandon would say numbers. Numbers don't lie, she'd say. Facts, intellectual facts, scientific proven facts are true. Doesn't matter how you look at them, they're true. And Jesus Christ, which deals with your heart and your spirit, that's true. Now that's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. That's why Jesus said, follow me. And that's why he teaches us over and over and over and over and over and over and sometimes with clarity, but most of the time in such a way that we have to turn it and nurture it and study it and taste it and come to the conclusion. And you ought not let somebody else do that for you. You can read the commentaries. You can listen to the gurus. You need to hear a word from God from some decent preacher some morning. I hope you can find that someplace. But you need to square off with Christ himself and say, what are you trying to teach me in this? Sometimes we understand, sometimes we don't. And when we don't understand, we just skip that part and move on. And when we do understand and it's a hard teaching, we just skip that part and move on. That's also the truth, by the way. Now, I don't like to be manipulated. And so I don't try to manipulate people. I don't say, close your eyes and hold your neighbor's hands. Because I don't like people to tell me to do those things. I may not want to hold that person's hand. But if I were to ask you to close your eyes and picture the truth, what image would come to your mind? And if it isn't the face of Christ Himself, then probably you need to go back to work. Jeff and I attended a continuing education lecture on Friday. It was in Cummings at Cummings First. Lynn Sweet was there. Some of you may have read some of his books. I went back on Saturday, not because I wanted to. The truth is, I didn't want to go back at all, but the district superintendent didn't issue an invitation. He issued a mandate. So I was back up there Saturday for a second dose of that. I like Leonard Sweet, and I like a lot of things he says, and you'll be hearing some things. He said to the group that had gathered at one time, I was going to ask you about truth, but I won't do that. And I said, oh, please, sir, do that. I'm preaching on it Sunday. I want to hear what they have to say. So you're going to hear a few of Leonard Sweet's ideas and also a few ideas from the general congregation there. Think about this. Confucius says, follow my sayings. Moses says, follow my commandments. Socrates says, follow my knowledge. And Plato says, follow my philosophies. But Jesus says, follow me. And he says that because he is the truth, the only truth, the absolute truth. Now, when Jesus shares the truth with us, we very often don't like it. My contention is that people really don't like the truth, even if it sets them free. They don't like it. If the preacher preaches the truth every single Sunday that goes along, I mean the hard truth, the absolute truths, you will move them in June. I've been here 9 years. I'm not worried too much about them moving me. If they move me, I'll go. There's other Methodist churches, but I love it here. And they've learned me. So it's not a shock to them anymore. I could get fooled. SPR's meeting in a few weeks. But you don't like Jesus to tell you the truth. Most people don't. You remember the truths that he told you? Just a few of them? Turn the other cheek. Forgive those who hurt you. Oh, I'll never forgive them. Take care of the poor. Invite them in. Ooh. Teach the children. Well, I would, but my schedule just won't allow it. Remember Ben and Ella? Remember the vows that they took? More importantly, do you remember the vows you took? When Jeff said, will you nurture? Will you invest in them? Will you take care of them? Will you teach them? Will you scold them when they need it and hug them when they need it? Will you do that, church? And you said, we will. We will. Look after those who are weaker than you are. You remember those baptismal vows? Will you fight oppression in whatever forms it presents itself? Here's one that really gets you. Give to the church at least 10%. Be kind to one another. Resist evil always. And that one seems pretty easy to do until you go to the movies or until you pick up a wrong kind of magazine or until you're in the workplace and somebody tells a racial, inappropriate, gender non-sensitive joke. Quit sinning, Jesus says. Study to show yourself approved. Well, I would do that, but golly, my time is just sucked up. Don't have time for another thing on my list. Jesus said, ground is very level at the foot of the cross. Nothing must come between us, not job, not family, not power, not pride, not time, not money, not nothing should come between us. That's the truth. Put God first before anything. Pray without ceasing, Jesus says. Don't live by this world's standards, but live by mine, Jesus says. Love one another, even those you don't like, Jesus says. My church, Jesus says, not yours. My church, my table, Jesus says. And all my children, every single one of them, are welcome at the table, Jesus says. Jesus says, get it right when you can. And when you don't get it right, I'll forgive you and you have to try again. And then he corrects us when we're wrong. He's just like that. We call ourselves seekers and feel good about that. I can't remember all the names of all Sunday school class. We don't have a Sunday school class named Seekers, do we? Okay, that's great. I know they do at another church I serve. But we're not seekers. We're not seekers. God is not lost. We don't have to go seeking him. He is not lost. He is here. He's not in the tomb. He is here. He is at work with you. He rides the MARTA with you. He's on 285 with you. He is not lost. He's the seeker because we're hiding from him. And we've been hiding ever since Adam and Eve hid in the Garden of Eden. We've been hiding. Teach this to the children. Teach the truths to the children. Follow me, he said. Not a question. Sort of like that meeting I went to yesterday. Not an invitation. It's a command. Can you stand the truth? Well, I'm not lying to you. I've told you the truth this very day. The whole truth. Amen.